Hello, growers from around the world. Jordan River here. Thank you for tuning into GrowCast today. I've got some exciting news. GrowPass, our membership program where you can get discounts and bonus episodes of this show and giveaways and all sorts of fun stuff. Well, it's opening registration March 17th. Mark your calendars or go to mygrowpass.com and join the waitlist right now because we are opening registration. We've been focusing on the program and now we're going to take some new members on. It's going to be a ton of fun. Come join us. See what you've been missing. Mygrowpass.com. We've also given something like $240 to charity so far, and that number goes up every month. Thank you to you GrowPass members. Today we have Razzo Rich, a show favorite, back on the show talking about Illinois, talking about super soil, everything he's doing. It's a great episode. I know you'll enjoy it. Before we jump in, though, let's give some love to Atlas Plant Trainer, everyone, the best plant support system for cannabis on the market. AtlasPlantTrainer.com is where you need to go. Promo code GROWCAST gets you 10% off your entire order, and members of MyGrowPass.com get 25% off their Atlas Plant Trainers. Have you ever found yourself a few weeks away from your next harvest running low on bud? Are you wondering how you can get more out of your plants without replacing your lights or nutrients? I bet you're tired of bamboo stakes poking you when you're trying to train and support your plants. Well, with the Atlas Plant Trainer, all those concerns are wiped away. Connect, click, bend, and clip. Four easy steps to growing the plants of your dream, and never running out of cannabis again. Listen, I've said it before, Atlas Plant Trainer is the best way to support your plants. There's every other way, and then there's Atlas. So go get it today, atlasplanttrainer.com. Promo code GrowCast for 10% off. MyGrowPass.com for 25% off. This and many, many more products. Okay, let's just get into the show, everyone. Thanks for listening. Enjoy the program. Hello, podcast listeners. You are now listening to GrowCast. I'm your host, Jordan River, and I want to thank you for tuning in today. Before we get started, please tell a friend about GrowCast. Share the show. I appreciate that. Make sure you're subscribed. Give us a good rating and review. Check out the Homegrown Helpers for more growing talk with Rob Smith, our own Rob Smith's podcast. And also check out the Coffee Health and Science podcast. Got a doozy dropping on Friday. Yeah, this Friday. Sanjeev Chopra from Harvard Medical coming back on. Everyone should listen to that episode. It's crazy. It's about cancer. Go listen to it, folks. Today we have Razzo Rich on the line. What's up, Razzo Rich?
How's it going, Jordan?
Going excellent, man. I'm back. I'm back in the States. I've been trying to do this recap episode with Patrick Colhagen, people who've listened back in the day. Good old Patrick Colhagen. He went to Columbia with me. Get this, Rich. I haven't done that recap yet because I've been texting him every day trying to link up with him. He's got stomach pains and he's all sick as shit. And he thinks it came from eating this undercooked goat meat because we were eating this goat meat at this restaurant across from a farm and it was good. Mine was fine. I ate the shit out of that goat meat. But he said his looked like undercooked and now he thinks that he got a parasite from that goat meat.
I was just going to say a worm or something,
oh,
maybe.
Oh, man.
Oh, fuck.
That's brutal. It's really sad,
go
too.
Go to the doctor, like, man. They can give you something to get that out pretty quick, I think. But you definitely don't want that hanging out inside of you.
I hope he's wrong. I hope it was from the water. Maybe he ate something. I don't know.
Right.
Ate something in the airport. But because we ate all the same stuff and nothing happened to me. But it's shitty because like this is a guy who's always getting his flights delayed. Last time we flew, someone paid for us to fly first class. We never fly first class. We got bumped from first class because of a candidate.
Shit.
This guy's got like the worst luck traveling, man. And now he's got some Colombian parasite.
Right?
It's terrible, but he said he's getting better. So I will get
that.
Can
you imagine right now, too, walking into a hospital? It's like, yeah, I was out of the country and I'm sick. They're going to fucking quarantine you like right away, too, you know?
He definitely doesn't
have
corona. Yeah, he definitely doesn't have that. So he's got no fever or you know, anything like that. Luckily.
That's good.
Yeah, but that was all over the place, man. I saw the coronavirus stuff all over when I was traveling. I'm traveling again. I don't give a fuck. I'm just going places. I'm not going any.
Right.
I'm not going to any of the hot spots, but yeah, that's not going to stop me, man. I got shit to do. So yeah, we're going to do that recap. There was some cannabis to be had down in Colombia. I saw one plant growing and I got to smoke some too. So it was interesting. And I talked to like a couple people, so it'll make a nice little recap episode that's coming. And then if you want to hear about the coffee stuff, check out the coffee pod because I already have a couple recaps up there. But yeah, stay tuned for that, everybody. But that's not what today's episode is about. Today, we're talking about a couple different things. We're talking about what's going on with Razzo Rich and his Illinois Canna Consulting. Might be starting a YouTube channel coming up here. We got some Nikan news. There's a bunch of stuff we got to cover. Rich, where are we going to start? I think I want to start with what you're doing, what you're working on right now. I think you should parlay this into a video podcast or like a YouTube type thing. For those who don't follow Rizo Rich, he's doing like a super soil split test. A lot of companies out there advertise organic super soil, some great companies, Michigan Mix, our very own Soham right. Soils, love Soham Soils. And these guys, they advertise, hey, we mixed a super soil for you, just order it to your door and grow with it. And Rich is going to put them to the test with the same cultivar in the same grow room and see how they kind of stack up against one another. I mean, it's not exactly like a competition as much as a experiment, right, Rich?
Exactly. It's not meant at the end to, you know, be like, oh, your soil sucks or anything bad like that. You know, it's, I hear from a lot of different people on all of these different water only brands, a whole range of, you know, what they experience from it didn't get them all the way through the grow to sometimes, some people it did get them all the way through, you know, other right. people have to, you know, add nutrients, whatever. So it's very confusing from somebody who already has their own mix to recommend like a pre-bag soil when you hear so much confusing things on it. So I figured, you know, I'll do one grow of a bunch of different water only soils. Everybody's going to get a fresh new fabric pot. So there's nothing lingering in the pot from anybody before. So far I have, some Costa Maine, the Stonington blend. I have Soham was very nice and sent me a bag of free soil for this. They were very interested and thought it sounded like a fun idea. So I really appreciate that they did that. That was awesome of them nice. To send a bag and be interested. So I got Soham too. I'm going to throw a container of my mix in there. I have some Purple Cow Organic. And then tomorrow I'm going to pick up some Detroit Nutrient Company. A bag of Ocean Forest, since, you know, that one is available everywhere and a lot of people do use it. So I just want to see, you know, what that one will do on its own. And then hopefully some Roots Organics and whatever else I can find. I want to have at least 5 to 10. Right now I have 4 and I know I'm picking up at least 2 tomorrow. So I'd like to have 5 to 10 different water-only soils and just see, you know, from start to finish, what exactly, what they do and what ones can make it through like they claim and what ones can't. And like I said, it's not really a competition. At the end, I want to be able to have something I can recommend to clients or a few different options that I can recommend to clients. So,
oh, totally. I think it'll be
a really fun run. You know?
Yeah.
It really will. I know my environment. I'm going to use the same cutting like you mentioned. Everybody's going to have the same lighting. You know, I'm going to put in the same Kelvin unit CMH bulb and all my CMHs. So everything's going to be the same as much as possible. You know, I know that there's other variables. It's not going to be super scientific, but it is going to give a really good idea, at least for me, of what these soils are doing.
Totally.
So I think it's going to be fun.
Yeah, totally. And I think it's going to have more complex results. Like maybe one isn't going to make it all the way through, but maybe it'll come out with really good results or maybe the best results. Like,
yeah,
or maybe,
knows?
Yeah, maybe one you'll need to top dress, and the yield won't be so good, but the quality was the best in your opinion. Like, I'm excited to see how all the different variables stack
too.
Up.
I like to learn and do something different all the time. So I think this grow will be really fun. I like soil mixing. I have my own mix, so I'm not really interested in, you know, getting a brand and buying it for myself per se, but it'll be a really fun run to do something different and see what these soils do and definitely learn something. And it'll be really fun. It'll give us some content to talk about. Like you said, I'm probably going to make a little YouTube channel and do a follow along on there, you know? So
All you got to do is get all the footage. That's the most important thing. Like film everything.
Right.
You don't feel like you have to set everything up now, but get as much footage of the run as you can. And this will be like forever useful as well. Like as long as these brands are around. And can I recommend grabbing, we got to shout out, Tad Hussey, Kiss Organics. You got
to
grab,
I would love to get some Kiss Organics. If I can get some or find some locally, that would be awesome.
Definitely.
There is so many brands. I would like to do as many as I can. If I can get 10 to 12, that would be beautiful.
Green
would
bicycles.
Be a lot.
Patrick Smith.
Yeah.
Green Bicycles.
I have heard of them. I think Mystic Grower, who was in that Operation Grow Show with me, I think she uses a lot of their stuff and loves it. So
I remember the first episode of Growcast I did was with Patrick Smith from Green Bicycles, and he was talking about regenerative in Humboldt, you know. And that was
right.
5 years ago, and you know, that was just when he was talking to me. He was into it way before that. Super, got to shout out the OG, man. Fucking OG. He was kind of crazy, though. I think I don't think you would mind me saying that. He was kind of crazy when I met him.
Sure.
But anyways, yeah. Yeah, dude. Yeah, get as many as you can. That's dope. I'm really excited to see
that. That's what I'm hoping, you know. Like I said, I have 4 on hand right now, and I'm picking up at least 2 or 3 tomorrow. So if I can find more than that, though, I'm going to do it. You know?
Your
as many as I can.
Your shit's the best, though, man. Some of the products you've given me are some of the best I've ever consumed. So growing in your soil, because none of those other soils have coffee grounds in them, man. I'm convinced that those coffee grounds
right?
are a secret weapon.
That little bit of coffee grounds, I'm telling you. No, you know, it's funny because when I made my mix, and maybe it sounds kind of weird, and I'm not making this up, but I really didn't look at anybody else's mix and base anything off of it. Like, I just kind of started my own mix and built on it over a 2-year time span. But when I looked at some of these bags that I have now, or I'm looking at buying, I noticed that some of them are really close blends to what I'm doing. So I have a feeling some of these are going to do pretty good.
Interesting, man.
Not saying that mine's, you know, the best or anything, but I know that it does really good in my environment. So, and it seems to get me through. So when I saw some of these other recipes, I'm like, okay, these might be really good soils.
Well,
I haven't played with a lot of these, you know, I don't have experience mm-hmm. with them. I haven't ran Soham. So.
Right. Well, here's what I'm thinking. Are these soils going to, I would imagine that these soils are going to differ greatly in how they perform with plants. So what I mean by that is you've sat down in the 4 or 5 that you already have, you've looked through the ingredient list. I'm going to wager that while you see some standards in all of them, when it comes
right.
to the nutrient sources, the actual inputs, they're probably wildly different, right? Like they don't look, the
yeah.
recipes don't look similar to one another, correct?
No, they are definitely different. I will say the NPK values of each of them, I'm starting to notice, is there's a range, and they all seem to fall in a very tight range.
Oh, interesting. But the sources are all different.
Yeah, the sources are all different, but mm-hmm. definitely,
but
absolutely. But the value, when you look at all the bags, you're like, wow, these are all very,
similar.
Very close.
That
so that's very interesting, because
yeah.
I didn't know that whatsoever. So, and you know, this is kind of just a pointer I was talking about with somebody yesterday with these bag soils is, you know, when you get them, you definitely want to make sure that you don't just scoop out enough for a 1 gallon or a 3 gallon and, you know, put your plant in it. You want to remix these bags when you buy them completely before you use them. Otherwise, you know, they may have settled during shipping or whatever and you'll get up. I hear people say they got a hot bag or this, that, or the other, and then you find out that they only used a little bit of the soil. And it sounds like such a silly thing, but, you know, amendments can settle. And when it's been shipped around and picked up and thrown down on a pallet, and by the time you get it, you know, it might be really hot at the bottom of the bag, and maybe you open up that side or, you know, whatever. So just think it's important to remix all these bags before you use them completely.
That's a great
observation. It sounds like work, but it's definitely something I would do.
Yeah, man. Keep us up to date on all of this. I definitely want to see how Soham does. I want to see how M3 does. M3 is great. We've been talking
yes,
to those
I
guys.
I want to get some M3 and Detroit Nutrient Company or two that I'd really like to get because they're close, you know, to us. They're in Michigan. So
yeah,
I would really like to get a hold of those two.
And then I hadn't heard of Purple Cow.
Yeah, Purple Cow Organics, I think, is out of Wisconsin. We have a lot of it around here, and I know that they just came out with a cannabis-specific blend called, like, Indicanja or Indica-something. It's like Indica and then Anja, like, for ganja on the end of it.
Down with
that,
man.
What they're trying to do. So they do have their own, they have their own cannabis-specific blend. And, you know, they're out of Wisconsin, so they're not even in a really friendly state. So it's pretty cool that they took it upon themselves to do that. So I figured, you know what? I'll run their shit because it was there with the Coast of Maine and it was on clearance. So I was like, I'm grabbing a bag. So I did.
Man,
we'll see how it works.
Wisconsin is like surrounded at this point. They've got Michigan across the pond. They've got Illinois right under them. Does Minnesota to their west have,
I think they have medical.
Yeah. Man, I mean, it's just a matter of time, Wisconsin. You're holding out. You're holding out, man.
Yeah, I heard a lot of, like, you know, when we had legalization in Illinois on the first, a lot of people from Wisconsin were
just come on over. Yeah,
me. So yeah, you know, we'll take their tax revenue or whatever.
That's very interesting, man. Before we jump back in with Rizo Rich, let's shout out one of my favorite partners of ours, Dr. Zymes, amazing pest eliminator and cleaner, everyone. Just go to drzymes.com, DrZymes.com. Promo code GROWCAST10 gets you 10% off your pest control. And members of mygrowpass.com get 25% off their pest control. The amazing Dr. Zymes eliminator. Well, you've heard about it. It's this enzyme pest control product, which is a revolutionary green solution because it leaves no residue at all. You can spray it at any point. You will not see this product in your testing. You will not see this product on your flowers because it is an enzyme-based spray. It is not a chemical pesticide. You've heard Mary Beth Sanchez talk about how great it is and a bunch of guests, so you got to try it out today. DrZymes.com, promo code GROWCAST10 for 10% off. MyGrowPass.com for 25% off. Use it as a preventative. It's organic. It's natural. It's OMRI listed. Check it out today. DrZymes.com. All right, let's get back to Rizo Rich. Well, that's a good segue into what I want to talk about for the remainder of the show here is all the craziness going on here in the Midwest. We have a couple different bills in front of us. There's a couple different bills that are being put through Illinois legislature specifically. One is this crazy restrictive bill on dispensary purchases that I want to get into. And it just seems like really, really draconian and, you know, totalitarian. It seems really, really crazy. But then we've got on the other side of that, we've got this Right to Garden Act, which seems really, really cool. And it might not be the answer to all our prayers, but it's a step in the right direction. Where do you want to start with this, Rich?
Oh, wherever you want, man. I mean, we can start with the tracking one.
Yeah. Let's start with the negative bill here. What is this bill called? What is the, do you know the timeline on this thing? Can we get out and vote against this? Talk to me about this bill.
From what I can read, and you can find all this on Illinois General Assembly, I think it's ilga.gov. It's called HB 5201, and it was put through by Representative Mary Edley Allen. And it basically says, amends the Cannabis Regulation and Tax Act, establishes a cannabis tracking program coordinated and administered by the Illinois State Police to track purchases of cannabis across multiple locations by any person or entity licensed under the act. Provides that each time an adult use dispensing organization distributes cannabis to an adult use purchaser, the adult use dispensing organization shall transmit an electronic transaction record to the central repository.
So the cops are going to have an electronic record of every time you purchase. They're going to know.
Yes.
The police are going to know about every cannabis purchase made within the state.
You know, they will. And if you're coming from somewhere like Wisconsin or Indiana or any of these states that are surrounding it that are illegal, do you really want your name given to the state police that you were just over the border technically breaking the law in your home state?
Yeah.
You know, and I get what they're doing. They want to make sure that, you know, if you're only allowed to buy an ounce, that you're not hopping from dispensary to dispensary and buying too much. But, you know, we don't do that with alcohol. We don't do it with cigarettes. We don't do it with other things.
Who's doing that with the cannabis prices as they are anyways? They're horrible here.
Yeah. And it just seems absolutely ridiculous. And if you want to, you know, we only do that kind of stuff with narcotic prescriptions at pharmacies. So it just seems like if it's going to be recreational, treat it like that and don't treat it like it's something criminal. And, you know, I don't know. I just find it kind of gross. And if you're going to do all that, why does it need to go to the Illinois State Police? Like,
they're not monitoring all the alcohol.
Make
abuse.
Up some other committee or, you know, committee or something that tracks this and makes sure that people don't overbuy if you want. I really don't like that it's going to the state police. That weirds me out a lot. Not that they're bad people or anything, but it just, you know, that information doesn't need to be shared with other states or whatever. It's just, Yeah. It's weird.
Absolutely. And let's be honest.
I don't like it.
Let's be honest. The Chicago, specifically Chicago, I guess it's not Illinois State Police, but the Chicago police have a dark, dark history. Like, I'm not anti-law enforcement by any means. I think that people are people. But I also believe that certain cultures exist. And if you follow some of the darker history of the Chicago PD's culture, like, you can Google Homan Square. Have you heard of Homan Square, Rich?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, like, there's a lot of crazy stuff that goes on here. So if there's one police force that I wouldn't want having access to this, it would be that one.
I don't trust it. You know, it's very sketchy, and it's, you know, it's another way for the state to kind of get you to have some kind of a container when you get pulled over that is from a dispensary where you bought and purchased it. So they can kind of track that, which is silly, because if you're a home grow person and you have your medical card and you're growing, you're not going to have a store-bought container, you know? So it's,
you better have your medical card passing, on you at that point. Yeah, that's pretty messed up.
Yeah, they're passing these bills to try to, you know, sneak in other things, you know, like a container that you have to get from a dispensary or whatever. You know, when you buy something, it needs to be in some sealed dispensary container with a receipt that they can look up in some freaking thing, you know? So it's not right. And it, like I said, I just find it kind of gross. And
yeah. And there's a couple other provisions weird in there, right? Like, you can't give cannabis to anyone else, even if they're, isn't that part of the bill, or am I wrong about that? Like, even if you're both, you know, 50-year-old men, if you purchased it from the 50-year-old men, why did I say that? I don't know why I chose it. You're above legal age is what I'm trying to say. You can't just hand someone a joint. Like, isn't that part of it too? Or am I wrong about that?
I don't think in this bill, but for Illinois, yeah. From what I understand, you can't just gift it.
That's fucking crazy.
And I may be wrong, but I think last time I looked, which was a while ago, I don't think you can gift it.
Well, that doesn't surprise me.
I do see in this bill that we were just talking about too, that they're going to need, you know, the state police will be drawn upon state grant money and stuff like that. So I'm sure we'll all be paying for this program that we're going to be being tracked in.
Yeah, that's
which
brutal.
Is also sketchy. So, you know, it's just, I don't know. Like I said, it's just wrong. It's weird. It kind of goes against some of their own rules. Cause if you're a home grower, you know, you're not going to have this special container and you're not going to be in the system, you know? So what's going to happen to those people? There's nothing in there about people with medical cards. So it's just, you know, they really didn't think a lot of things through, and the whole bill itself is just wrong. So I don't like it. I haven't met it or talked to anybody who was for this. So,
and is this going to go to a public vote at a certain point or what? I know nothing about politics.
Yeah, it looked like the last action on it was February 18th of this year, and it was referred to the Rules Committee, whatever the hell that means.
I'm sure that the Rules Committee has our best interest in mind.
Yeah, I'm sure that's why it's, you know,
sarcasm for you folks.
Sitting stagnant or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. Ooh. Well, I hope it doesn't pass. I don't think this can last long, man. I still know black market dealers that are doing just fine, because right now, if you head on down to the dispensary, here's two things at my local dispensary. And I understand that there's a statewide flower shortage. I've seen people complaining about worse situations. I can't say that this is completely across the board, but if you go to my quote local dispensary that I have to drive way too far to, cause they've limited the dispensaries, you get an eighth of flower. And you can't buy any more until the next day. You're limited to 1/8 of flour a day. Before that, there was no flour. Flour was sold out there. And you could only buy carts. And the carts are $85 out the door for a, wait for it, half gram.
I was talking to people, you know, you can't look at them ahead of time. So sometimes you get home and the cart's only, you know, 3/4 full or something.
Yeah, they're wildly different when it comes to the amount of
the
full
price.
Oh my God, dude.
I had somebody get a cart one time that wasn't even liquid. It was like a big dark rock of something in there that wouldn't even burn. So
Jesus.
Yeah, I don't know. I hear you. It's weird. And that's so fucked up. They only let you buy an eighth. You're allowed to at least get an ounce, and they're got to save it for other people, or, you know, it's just, what did you say, that like 75,000 people for every one dispensary or something ridiculous?
It's
like
22
that?
I didn't do the calculation yet, but I believe it's 22. Oh no, I'm sorry. It's 22 cultivators for the whole state. So that's why there's a shortage. It's because there's 22 cultivators to serve the state of Illinois. Isn't Chicago like the third biggest city in the country?
Yeah, they want to hold the licenses on everybody, and that's why the black market thrives. They put these bills through to try to wipe it out, and it only makes the black market stronger because you're doing weird shit like that. People don't want to go buy your stuff. It's overpriced. It's not even good half the time, you know? I don't know.
It's especially weird because a lot of guys got out of the game as soon as it went legal, so the ones who stayed are actually doing really good. Because the dispensaries aren't cutting it, and a bunch of black market people quit because they just saw legalization coming and just, you know, quit. But the guys who stuck with it are like kind of thriving right now. So I'm all about it. I got my medical card. I'm gonna be growing my own. So I'm a happy camper.
I saw something about downtown, like, or at least the city of Chicago, after the 1st of July or something like that, the taxes are going up even more on cannabis downtown.
Wow.
Don't quote me on it, but I did see something about like the first.
Well, that's not going to last, man. It's just
like
not.
That.
How is that possible? When I was in Oregon.
They're already so high.
Yeah. When I was in Oregon, a premium cart. Okay. When I first moved to Oregon, which was like 2018, I guess. Yeah. 2018, a premium cart for a gram was like $60, like the best thing you could find.
Right.
Live resin really wasn't that popular yet. It quickly dropped to 50. And by the end of my stay, a year and a half after I moved there, I was buying $40 full gram live resin carts from a place called Green Mart. Shout out to Green Mart, who made their own.
Right on.
They processed their own
That's
live
badass.
Resin. They were allowed, I believe, to grow it, process it, and sell it. If not, grab from one of their growers and then process and sell it with a Green Mart thing. It had no packaging. It was just in a little pop container.
I know what you mean.
And that was it. You just plug that shit in. Oh my god, dude, they burned so fast too. Like, I was tearing through those things at $40 a gram, and now I'm out here at what, $170 a gram for a product that's not even as good. It's crazy.
That's terrible, man. Absolutely terrible. And I don't know, there's a lot of money being lost on the state because of that. Like, they really didn't think anything through.
Exactly.
Their bills are silly. They're not thinking things through when they're putting bills through. It's just, I don't know. It was a long
way
to go.
You know how
sure.
many people, those places would be exploding if they just lowered the prices and added more cultivators. I mean, it would be a huge industry, but people don't even want to deal with it.
No. And, you know, like I said, I get not giving out too many licenses, but they're giving out too little licenses to people. That's the other problem, is they're not, you know, letting other growers get in there and get in on the market legally.
I don't know, man. I don't even know
what they want to do, you know,
and right.
get these shortages taken care of.
I don't even know what too many licenses look like. I mean, if you take a look at Oregon, there was an influx to where prices dropped really, really low. In Southern Oregon, you could go get a pound for like $800, $600 of outdoor, good stuff. So there was like a little bit there. But if you look at most places, like Canada, for instance, it's always been a shortage. Every time a place launches, there's
always
a shortage. It's never like, oops, we have too much. Dude, people will smoke it. If you lower the price, people will fucking smoke it.
And you'll sell a lot more, too. You know?
Yeah, totally. So,
they,
I don't know.
They really need to do that, you know? Like I said, it would give a chance for people to get in more on the legal market and shit. I mean, even if they're paying high taxes, the state's still getting their money. They're legal and, you know, it's just, I don't know.
Yeah.
It's really stupid.
But
they're
fuck this new bill.
In the foot.
Yeah, fuck this new bill. Give out the name one more time. I hope the listeners are more politically proactive than me. Go out and, I don't know, write your representative and fight this thing. Give out the name one more time, Rich.
HB5201.
HB5201. Down with HB5201. I want to talk about this other bill, though, the Right to Garden Act. This looks like a good thing, you know, glancing over it. It looks like people are trying to protect your ability to grow, herbs, fungi, plants of all kinds within your own home. It says as long as, I think towards the bottom, it says as long as it's within your state legislature or whatever, your local legislature.
Yeah,
so it's not like you're going to be able to grow psilocybin.
Or anything,
yeah. Unless it's legal, though, right?
They're not going to come in and mess with your veggie gardens or, you know, tell you can't have a garden or anything like that. Like some other places will, you know?
Right. Yeah. And wouldn't this also, if you have a medical card, I bet this sort of thing would do well if, like, I don't know, your landlord was coming down on you or I think if you're,
right.
I think if you're, you know, carded up, and this is in place, it would help you. That's my thought.
Absolutely. I don't see why not. Yeah, anything protecting your right to garden is good, you know, as long as there's not some shady ass provision thrown in there. But
yeah,
it didn't
right.
look like it from what I saw, you know. I mean, like you said at the end, it does say that, you know, whatever the state says, so far as you're not growing, you know, psilocybin and cannabis in your front yard or anything. But.
Totally. But yeah, let's look at some of the language here. The state of Illinois finds that the right of a property owner to create and maintain a garden on his or her own residential property, whether it be for produce, flowers, herbs, fungi, or grains. Ooh, grains. And when done so, for one's own consumption and enjoyment. I like that phrasing.
Right on.
Should not be infringed upon by the state or any unit of local government. So yeah, this is to protect you against local government if you're growing something, it says later, that isn't, you know, prohibited by this or that act. So yeah, I'm down with this. But like you said, Rich, we were talking off air for a little bit. You do still need those licenses. Like, people are talking about growing hemp in all 50 states because of a federal bill, the hemp farm bill.
Yeah, you still need a license to grow hemp. You can't just throw it up in your front yard and start growing hemp plants, from what I understand. I mean, any person that grows hemp legally that I've ever met or known always has some kind of a hemp cultivator's license, or, you know, they're not usually doing it without some kind of, you know, license underneath their name.
Yeah, that's why this state and federal contradiction is so whack, because I'm sure it varies state to state, but finally the federal government is cool with hemp. I mean, geez, that's the one time you kind of want federal government to supersede over states' rights. You know what I mean?
Definitely, yeah. If it's for a good thing, absolutely.
pretty selfish mindset, but
that's how
humans work.
Illegal to begin with is crazy, you know. Just
exactly.
Alone, like, so many different things you can do with it. I mean, why, even if you're going to outlaw, you know, the whole THC part of cannabis, what the fuck with the hemp, you know?
Yeah, it's like, just people are crazy, man, but it's finally coming around. So HB 4704, the Right to Garden Act. Look into it, folks. This looks like a good one here. So this is one to support and then one to kind of push back against. I don't think anybody in their right mind is in favor of that cannabis tracking bill. I'd like to see what the arguments are for. I just don't see the problem. Everybody's so scared of legalization causing all these problems. I've been to Oregon. I've been to Colorado. They're nice places. They're nicer than here.
You know, you made a really good point too, like the tracking program. If they're worried about people overbuying, you can't even fucking buy an ounce of cannabis when you go to a dispensary, like you were just saying.
Oh,
you're
God,
limited at
point.
Like an eighth of flower.
Yeah.
So why the fuck do they need to track? Like, they're, if somebody sits, goes around all day, sits through those crazy ass lines, and goes to eight different places to get an ounce, and then they want to go to a ninth to get
God
sober.
Bless them, dude.
But they deserve it. But it's worth it for, like, let them fucking have it. Because good
hilarious.
Luck, dude. You're probably not even going to fucking find that to begin with. So,
oh my God.
It just, I don't know. It there's really no argument. Even the argument of we want to make sure people aren't over purchasing is, you know, really silly at this point in time.
That's
we don't even make
good
enough
point.
As it is. So,
good point, dude. That's hilarious. So we'll see how it shakes out here in Illinois. I'm still optimistic. Illinois just has to learn for itself. It can't take lessons from other states. It needs to go through
it
all the
time.
Growing pains, and I think we'll get
they
there.
Do.
Maybe 5 years. I don't know. So we'll see.
Yeah. But,
speaking of Illinois and advancement and events in Illinois, we got NECANN coming to Illinois. Super excited about NECANN. We're going to cover it. Me and you are going to cover it here in Chicago in April. A little bit of controversy for the last NECANN, or I guess this NECANN, the one coming up before Chicago here. What's going on? So they're out in Massachusetts. They're doing their New England Cannabis Convention. You guys have heard that they've come on this show before and talked about what they do out there. They have a lot of seed vendors. They're doing it at the same place that they always do it, right, Rich?
From what I understand, I believe so. The Heinz Convention Center, I want to say it's called, which is owned by the state of Massachusetts, I believe.
So they have everything ready to go. People are already buying tickets. Like, it's all rearing to go. I'm not sure the exact date. And then what? The Heinz Convention Center contacts them out of the blue and says, you can't have
any seed sales.
No seed sales.
you know, not on site. You can't be, you know, selling and handing seeds to people on site. So AnyCan kind of had their hands tied with that, which people were all up in arms about, you know.
Well, that's a pretty big reason for why people go, right?
Yeah. I think they said, from my understanding, it was only a small percentage of people buying seeds. But, I mean, realistically, yeah, a lot of people are going there to buy seeds, to these events at least, for sure.
Well, what surprised me is the backlash that people were giving AnyCan for... I don't know, getting fucked. Like, it doesn't sound like it was their fault.
From my understanding, it has nothing to do with them, and it has to do with the state. So they're, you know, they gave, from what I understand, they gave money back to people. So I didn't really quite understand the whole backlash thing either, because it wasn't like they came on and were like, hey, no seed sales, we're saying it. No, it was the state saying that. And I want to say the state even said people would be subpoenaed if they did it. So I don't blame AnyCan for saying, you know, we can't do this, because it would have caused a whole big, you know, other issue come convention time. And you don't want people getting arrested or whatever.
That, man. No, you got to call it off at that point.
Yeah, it's totally on the state and totally not on AnyCan. So I'm not sure why people had a problem with that too, either, or why there was a, you know.
Yeah, maybe someone can write me and if there's something I'm missing here, like if they were selling tickets while knowing, you know what I mean? But I do not think that was the case. I'm pretty sure they came out really quickly after finding out. And it kind of bugs me because...
And offered refunds too, from what I saw. And so, they were very, they honored everything very well, I thought. So
here's the thing.
I didn't understand it quite well either.
Yeah. I think that people don't recognize, like, people are always, for some reason, I believe that social media cultivates this. After talking to Dr. Joel Wade so much about what social media does to our brain, but people are like, are ready to lash out. They're
absolutely.
Like chomping at the bit to lash out. So when something happens like this, for instance, there's all this vitriol and like anger.
Oh, it's their issue for the week. It's what they can bitch about for the next 7 days until, you know, next week when something else, like, I mean, I haven't heard anything about it in the last 5 days. So it's like, you know, what, it lasts a couple of days? And you're exactly right. It's like, it's their little controversy. It's always, you know, a very small group of people that get upset about things, it seems like, and want to make a big ordeal about it. And it,
right.
And like you said, maybe we missed something. I don't know. But from what I understand, it was not on them at all. So.
That's how I feel. And what those people don't understand is, like, if you have enough of that pushback, if you have enough of that vitriol, like, AnyCan will just stop doing their convention. You understand that's the end goal of constantly attacking people, always having something, a bone to pick. Like, you're not helping.
It doesn't help our industry for
at
sure.
All. Yeah.
And our community. It doesn't make our community look good.
Right. So that's what I really want to communicate to those people who are always hating and trying to tear down, which is like, what's your end goal here? Because if it's to stop AnyCan from continuing, that's really the only thing you're doing by attacking them publicly and making this a bigger deal than it should be, which is shit happens, man. Shit fucking happens.
You have to understand business, you know, and if you don't, then it's hard for you to grasp some things, I guess. But I also want to say, from what I understand, that they did figure out a way that you could still purchase seeds from seed vendors and get them. You just have
to off-site.
Yeah, you had to go off-site. It was only a 4-minute walk, so it wasn't terrible. Yeah, it still may have sucked. You had to go off-site, but at least
please tell me people weren't complaining about a 4-minute walk.
I'm sure I didn't see too much, but I'm sure. But the point is they at least fixed it or tried to fix it and still made stuff happen. So, I mean, I kind of applaud them for that. So,
whatever.
I mean, if people are going to get upset about it, let them get upset, I guess. But I just think it's kind of... dumb.
Yeah, and like you said, I don't know, maybe we're missing something and I don't want to get too tied up in the drama, but
right.
I just, that's really my one concern, is that these people don't realize that by acting in this way,
good.
Yeah, you're really just making it harder for these people to produce something. That's the bottom line. There are producers out there. There are people who host events and there are people who attend events. There are people who create podcasts and people who listen to podcasts. Like, one isn't greater than the other. It's a symbiotic relationship. And like any relationship, you should just try. Geez, man, it's the golden rule. It's the golden rule. If you were throwing a frickin' party and someone came in and crapped on it, would you want everyone to pile on you? I don't think so, man. It's all about the golden rule.
No, I mean, just keep keep the positivity. I could imagine, you know, instead of the reaction that they got, if everybody would have just been like, you know what, messaged and been like, how is there a way that we can try to get this resolved or fix it? It probably would have went a lot better, you know,
but sure.
Instead there's a lot of negativity and it should have just been positive and let's try to help and be the community that we are instead of, you know, but like I said, like you said, maybe we missed something, so we probably shouldn't get super deep. But
true. Yeah. So we'll see how it shakes out. Hopefully it does well for those guys because they seem like nice guys.
I'm excited for the event next month.
Yeah,
though,
totally. So I'm excited
I'll
to
see
come
anybody
to
there
sure.
who's going.
Yeah, totally. Come for and sure. say hi. We'll wear some GrowCast shirts or something so you can recognize
definitely.
Us. Cool, man. Well, this was fun. This was a fun little chat. I feel like we caught up on Super Soil, caught up on everything Midwestern cannabis.
Right.
What else is going on? IllinoisCannaConsulting.com, of course. You're killing it over there. What else is happening? Just doing your thing?
Yeah, we might, we're going to be starting some classes here come April.
Nice.
So if anybody in Illinois or in the Chicago area suburb is looking to get started growing, you know, you have a medical card and want to do your five plants or whatever, or whatever, you can, sign up through the www.IllinoisCannaConsulting.com. It's going to start either April 1st or April 8th. I will know today for sure what day, but it'll probably be Wednesday night classes, and it'll be a 3-part course where we'll do, 2-hour classes each time. So we'll do one Wednesday, 5:30 to 7:30, whether it's the April 1st or April 8th, I'm not sure yet. Then the next class will be the following Wednesday, the second class, which would be 2 hours, same time. And then the third week, or the week after that, would be the third class, which would be 2 hours, and that would complete the course. And then we're going to repeat this every month.
Nice.
So
that's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, it's not going to be really something for, like, you know, super experienced growers. This is for people that want to get into growing cannabis that haven't, and they are just, you know, having trouble with selecting grow equipment and aren't sure what the veg stage includes and the flower stage and copying and germinating. And
what
so, you know,
good
it'll give a, yeah, it'll give a 6-hour kind of crash course and, but more detailed than crash, I guess, but. You know, a good detailed course on getting started growing and what you need to expect all the way from germinating, selecting your gear to drying and curing. So
that's
I think
cool,
it'll
man.
Be really fun. And it'll be at Alsip Nursery in Frankfort, I believe.
Nice, man. And you mentioned the website, IllinoisCannaConsulting.com. We're trying to get an updated form up there. I think right now you can submit. You can click other and then write that you're interested in classes in the message board. We're getting that updated as soon as possible.
Yeah.
And people can find you on Instagram as well, right? If they want to get at you personally.
Yeah. At the @rizo_rich_ICC or at Illinois Canna or at Illinois Cannabis Consulting as well. You can just contact me through there. Or like you said, through the site, just shoot me a contact form thing and we'll get you signed up.
Awesome. All right, everyone. You can follow the show on GrowCast. On Instagram @GrowCast. I mean, you can follow me @JordanRiverIG. That's all, folks. I hope you're doing incredible in your garden. If you're struggling, I hope you're learning. Rizo Rich, thank you for doing this, buddy.
Oh, thank you. Anytime.
Thank you all for listening. We'll see you next time on GrowCast, everyone. Be safe and grow smarter. That's all for today, folks. Thank you so much for tuning in. Shout out to Jay Blanked for doing the beat. SoundCloud.com/JayBlanked for more of his work. Illinois Canna Consulting, you heard Rich's cannabis consulting company. Go check it out, IllinoisCannaConsulting.com. We've got something to tell you here in the post roll. There's free shipping at our swag store for the next 3 days. So if you go to GrowCastPodcast.com, click merch, you can get free shipping from the swag store. Also, shout out to Dealzer, the online hydro superstore. Just go to Dealzer.com, DEALZER.com. Promo code podcast10 for 10% off the whole superstore. Check it out. Lots of products up there. Dealzer.com, everyone. Okay, that's all. Thank you all so much for listening. We'll see you next time on GrowCast. Take care, everybody. Bye.